Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Must Be The Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. Here we are recording in Toronto in Roncesvalles. And I think this is the first recording where it's not a bright, beautiful, sunny day. It is actually rainy and gross and kind of fitting considering my guest is from the UK today. I think that kind of aligns. This is kind of a funny one because we're re-recording with Karem, also my good friend Merrick. We did a recording and had a little bit of technical issues, so we are doing it again. And Merrick has chosen three new songs, which is really fun. You might see the little bit of recording that we have in, like, I don't know, a bonus episode or on an Instagram reel or something like that. But for now, we are redoing this, take two, and I'm so appreciative that he's here. How are you doing today, Merrick?
I've never met these people before in my life. They just put me in the back of a van and dragged me halfway across the city. Where am I? Help. Hi.
Yeah. Second time being kidnapped by this podcast.
Exactly. How does this keep happening to me? It's crazy.
How do you know us? Because we kidnapped you before.
That's a very fair point. There's holes in my story. Hi.
Yeah, this is not a good alibi for you.
No, it's not. Although it is, you are right, because like the first time we did this, it was like a beautiful day. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
That was like 2 months ago, or so I don't even know how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. And it's like now we're closer to summer, and I was like, let's go, summer's coming. What is this?
It's almost June. And it's like this outside. What is going on?
It's a beautiful Welsh summer's day, it's my kind of day. Like, I don't do well in 30. I mean, I'm sitting here wearing my spray-on black skinny jeans, which I will wear in 30-degree heat. I don't do well in the summer. So this is like the perfect day for me.
Amazing.
So I'm having a good time.
Yeah, it's... I wish I could just like be in bed and just be cozy on these days and just...
Well, that's the thing. You dragged me out of bed. Why are we going to do the episode again? It's like, I'm so cozy. I'm so comfy. But I love you so much. I'm happy
to be here. I'm so glad you're here. We'll go back... do like the same questions again. We'll do the whole shebang again.
I'm so okay with that because I've slept since, so I cannot remember. Like when I, like as soon as you hit record, like I just black out and then I don't come to until the recording stops. So I have no idea what I said.
That's so real.
It's all new information to me.
Yeah. It's all coming back. Yeah. So introduce yourself. Who are you? What are you up to at the moment?
Hi, I'm Merrick. I go under the name Karem. What am I currently up to? Working a lot. I have three jobs. That's fun. Mm-hmm. But like musically, I am waiting for masters of my next record. So I'm kind of just like in a weird limbo stage. But I did a night with my best friend and guitarist, Joseph Conrad, shout out, the other week. And we're going through like all the other music that I'm sitting on. And I've got like 40 songs just at different stages of production that I'm like... I just feel so like tightly wound, like, come on, I gotta do stuff. So that's fun.
Are you gearing up for like a album release? Because you have a few EPs.
It's another EP. I'm doing like a bunch of EPs. Mm-hmm. So, because like I like a bunch of different genres and working in a bunch of different genres. And I'm like, I'm just going to make a bunch of different EPs and a bunch of different styles. And then whichever one people go, that feels like the most you, then I'll double down and do an album of that. But for now, I'm just like, you know what? Pop rock, pop punk, ambient metalcore. I've got like a really sad acoustic one. Why not?
That's so good. Yeah. Might as well like try your hand in different things while you can and then see what clicks. Yeah, that's a great approach.
Thank you.
I've had the honor of hearing two of the tracks, I think it has been. Yeah.
It has been two, yes.
Yeah, and they're incredible. And also you had a show last weekend. And your band is just getting, I said this to you at the show, but it's just getting tighter and tighter. And it's so nice. It's so wonderful to see like your development and as a friend.
Thank you so much.
And also just like get to be able to come to these shows and have a good time, see some pals.
Have a good time. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's, I gotta shout them out. I got my guitarist is Joseph Conrad. My bassist is Steven Santello and my drummer is Donnie Reynolds. And I'm a very, very, very lucky man to have such a sick band behind me and to have them as like just good mates as well. It's like the jackpot, you know. I'm sure everyone says that, but like it's just incredible. Like, yeah, so I'm just a very lucky man.
Yeah,
so.
The best support and such like silly guys in the best way. Like,
so I don't know if you did clock it, I think, because you put it on your Instagram story. We played the show last week, and before we go on, Stephen turns to me and he's like, hey man, you could say no, but I want to do something stupid. I'm like, I'm down for that. Let's do it. What are you going to do? And he has one of those phones. It's like the flip phone has come back, one of those. And he just sets it in front of his monitor and he's just playing the Spider-Man movie for the whole set. I'm like, you know what? That's my kind of shenanigan.
As soon as I noticed it, I was like, this is incredible. And I noticed that at such a good point where like he's like fighting the guy in the school or whatever. It's so silly.
I want to get like a projector behind us for a show and just be like, Steven, whatever film you want to put on there, just put it back there. Give it pride of place.
Yeah. Get prime screening. Yeah. I heard somebody afterwards be like, was this like the Subway Surfers like TikTok thing? And I was like, that's exactly what that's it felt exactly like. What like it is. I could just watch the movie
like,
while we're
the amount
watching.
Of people that come to like a local show and just stand there with their arms crossed and like scowling at the band the whole time. And like, you don't know until you come off stage, they could be like scowling, looking like they're having an awful time. You come off and they're like, dude, that was like the best set I ever saw. Oh my God, you guys are incredible. Other times they won't say a fucking word to you. And they're just there. It's like, this is for you. Mm-hmm. If you're at a show because you don't want to be at the show, you just watch Spider-Man. That's for you, you know? That's your, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, God, what's the word I'm looking for? You put it in a like a hamster cage, so it has something to do.
Enrichment.
Enrichment, yeah. Thank you. That word escaped me.
Mental enrichment.
Yeah, that's your
show.
Enrichment while we're doing our thing, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever find out the reason behind gay sex being on the set list?
No. So I print out 4 set lists, and we all make notes as we need to before we go on, and I don't make notes because I'm perfect, obviously. And Joe puts notes of like, I need to be in this tuning and this tuning and this tuning. And then this song, we're going to extend the outro. And then Donnie will write on his one. He's like, transition here, go straight into this song, double up outro. Remember, it's in 8/8 time sake, anything like that. And then Steven just gets a marker who just writes gay sex. And I'm like, okay. Cheers, Steven.
That works. Yeah.
I love that, man.
That's so silly. It was good. It was a good little banter moment during the show. Yeah, I'm excited to see more shows. I'm excited to hear more music, especially with like this personal growth that you're going through with the band. And it's come through, I think we talked about this a bit last time, like it's come through a lot since like you've moved to Canada. And yeah, like how did the project start way back when?
God, I'll give you the long version because I think we got so much time. Yeah, time is a concept. So I moved to Canada and I had to find a job. And I applied, I shit you not, for like 4,000 jobs before I heard anything back.
Oh my God.
And I finally landed a job at Hot Topic, which I was like super stoked because where I come from, Hot Topic is like this mecca for emos. It's like, oh my God, like, oh, it's Hot Topic, right? And I did the interview with the guy and I was like, oh, so here's my references, da, 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 da. I'm on a bus to another job interview like a week later and he calls me up and goes, hey man, we want to offer you the job. I'm like, let's go. How was it calling my references? Because they're back in the UK and there's a time zone difference, you know, like, was that a problem? I should probably know that going forward. Nah, man, you just have like really cool tattoos and like you wear skinny jeans. Like you just fit the vibe. So none of my personal skill set matters, but whatever, fine. Anyway, so I started working at Hot Topic and they got this weird thing going on where they were like, the more sales you make, the more hours we'll give you. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not making any sales, we're not going to give you any hours. So I'm not making any sales because I'm still in training. I can't be behind the register. So how can I make sales to get more hours? I'm like, well, that sounds like a whole lot of you problem. I'm like, bugger. So I had to get another job. I ended up getting offered a job on a boat called the Kayama, sails out of the harbor front. I was terrified of boats. Sounds like an awful, awful time. So I don't want to do this, but I have rent to pay. I got to do it. Fine. Have my notice in a Hot Topic. Start working on the boat. Get talking to a bunch of the guys. Inevitably, because as with all musicians, I can't shut up about the fact that I make the art. Like, oh my God, you should meet this guy, Joe. He also makes music. Meet Joe. It was weird. Like when we first started hanging out, we had a lot of people be like, oh, you guys must be like siblings because we're so similar. We look quite similar. We both wear hats. We're both cool as fuck. No, it just became like a natural thing. We're like, yeah, just give it a go, throw some stuff at the wall, see what happens. And then Joe and I proceeded to write like 50 songs in like 4 months. And it was like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got all these songs. Want to give them a go? And then I just built the band around it. And then that led to me meeting Steven, who was Joe's best friend for the longest time, joined that trio. And then we had this bit where, because we couldn't find the drummer for the life of us, and every drummer you know is already in like 4 or 5 bands. That's just the way it is with drummers. That like I'd walk into some kind of social gathering and be like, are there any drummers here? And just see if anybody turned their head. Nobody ever would, until one day Joe and Stephen are at a show in the Garrison. I can't remember who it was who's playing. And Stephen was like, oh, watch this. Any drummer? And then this guy turns around and goes, well, me actually. And that's how we met Donnie. So,
and Donnie's such a sweetheart.
He's an angel.
Fits in so well. Yeah.
Just it all came together quite nicely. And now
that's
here we
perfect.
Are. So.
Yeah, that's a great development of like the people like in Canada around it. Like it's funny how like paths cross, especially with Joe. Because Joe is such a sweetheart, someone who's spoken to him a few times. And yeah.
Very, very lucky man to have I come from a city called Cardiff that's like, well, I come from a village, but I come from a city called Cardiff. It's like 300,000 people, I think, is the population. And then moved to Toronto, where it's like, what, 2.95 million or something. Mm-hmm. To have crossed paths with three very special individuals that now we have this thing going on is, I'm assuming, some kind of divine providence. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. How long have you been in Canada now?
It will be 2 years in 3 weeks,
wow.
I think.
Okay.
Which is terrifying because I'm on a 2-year visa. So my visa's about to end. So that's a whole other load of stress on my back. But
yeah. But fingers crossed.
Yes.
It gets one more year, I think,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
I need to plan a very last minute holiday to, I think, like Aruba or something to like leave the country, come back and then re-enter immigration. So.
Okay. Awesome.
That's going to be exciting. I'm not stressed at all.
Yeah. But you're still cooking music on the way. You're still staying creative, still staying in touch with this project. Just really quickly, like what kind of like subject matter does your music usually carry? Because like I can speak to it personally and from our conversation last time, but maybe you have some insight there.
Well, so my thing with that is leading back into like, I like making music in a bunch of different genres is like, I write a lot of, sorry, we have a special guest here.
Yeah,
hello, gorgeous.
Sophia's taking a
goodness.
Seat with us.
I love Sophia so much. I write a lot of the same kind of topics. Like it's usually some kind of pretentious, existentialist, sad. I'm a very depressed man at my core. So it's usually like a lot of sad songs about something sad that I try to make flowery and pretentious because that's who I am. And then instead of changing my lyrical content, I'm changing the musical content. So like you can hear the same kind of stories and same narratives because that's what I like to write about, but with a different flavor. It's like when you get bands that like do 7 albums, but all 7 albums sound the same and also talk about the same stuff. And you're like,
I gotta say, that's one of my favorite things though in music is hearing, hearing an artist's sort of fixation with something through their art where like, I don't know, like I love the Born Ruffians and I feel like they always have like these consistent themes in their songs, even though they've changed so much as a band and they've grown. I've been listening to them for like over 10 years, but it's like, you know, like every time they release new music, it's like, oh, I can hear like the same words or the same phrasing. And it's like, I love being able to tell that an artist is just like fixated on the inspiration from something. So I think that's a really cool way to just like know where your inspiration is coming from and know how to approach it. Yeah, I think that's really sweet. Yeah. Speaking of your music, shall we get into...
Absolutely.
Get into these songs? Yeah. So I have not listened to these yet. I don't know these songs, but I'm excited to listen.
Very excited to talk you through them.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. So our first song that we're listening to is Midnight Dove by...
Sean James.
By Sean James. Beautiful. I love strings
so much.
That was so gorgeous. His voice paired with the strings, it feels very like sailor vibes.
I get that,
in a
sense,
but like not in like a corny way, in like a really genuine way.
I agree.
Yeah. Beautiful song about like a journey or
So I only know so much from what Google tells me, but when I was reading around this particular song, if I recall correctly, it was something like Sean James's sister was diagnosed with throat cancer, I think it was. And there were people around her being like, oh my God, this is the end. Like, you're going to die. And he wrote this song to be like, you could do it. Stay strong. She ended up getting over it, which was obviously wonderful news. But when everyone else sort of like lost hope and started despairing, he wrote this song to be like, you got this. Like, wow. You know, which I think is beautiful. And that in and of itself, I think, makes this a love song. But for me specifically, I used to have 5 pet rats. I have one of them tattooed on my arm right here. I love rats more than anything in the world. They are adorable. And when I had these rats, I would... Well, I still do get drunk a lot, I suppose. But, like, I would get drunk and I'd come home and be... Like, I'd be out with friends and they're like, oh, you know, it's like... 11, it's 12, it's 1, this secondary location, let's go somewhere. And it's like, no, I want to go home and see my children. I want to go spend time with my rodents. And I'd come home and, like, very drunkenly, I'd, like, cuddle them all and I'd sing them this song. Because it's just, it's lullaby adjacent at the start. It gets a little bit, you know, funky with it near the end. Yeah. But it's mostly like a lullaby thing. And then somehow that became my go-to then. So, like, then I had a dog in that same house actually called Blondie, and I'd cuddle up to her and I'd sing her this song. And I moved to Canada and I live with a pet cat called Scuba Steve and I'd sing him this song. And now I live with Rocky and Charlie, 2 dogs, and I sing them this song. Like, whenever I'm hanging out with pets, I'm like, this is my little lullaby for you guys.
So this is a pet love song. This is a pet love
song. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so incredible. This is a first, I will say.
Yes, I was hoping you'd say that.
But it's very interesting that, like, there's like the animal aspect of the song being called Midnight Dove, and then you relate it to like some very close, like, non-human friends.
You give me a second and I always forget what her name is.
Sophia,
you give me a minute alone with Sophia and I'll start singing this one.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know what it is. I'm sure there must be some kind of science to the wider scope that's like animals don't know what you're saying, but they can tell by like tone and stuff. But like, I like singing to animals, and this just feels like a nice little go-to. Like, if I was to start ripping out some Knocked Loose or something, the animals might get scared. Rightly so. Whereas this is like a little lullaby and it's nice and it's cute. And
it's soft and gentle. Yeah. I also think this song has a lot of like depth to it as far as a love song, and the story behind it really adds to that. You mentioned like your rats who like, you don't have rats right now. So like, is there a level of like, does the song bring back any sort of like yearning for absolutely having a pet? Like, yeah.
Because every time I hear it now, I think about like, gosh, so I had 5 rats. I had Kofi, I had Snowball, I had Willow, I had Radar, and I had the Great Ludini. R.I.P. all 5 of those. And like, they'd sit up on my shoulders, they'd cuddle in my lap. And it was just very warm and cozy and nice. And I'd usually like, so I'd come home, usually really drunk. I'd buy some of my chicken selects from McDonald's, obviously. And then I'd take the batter off and I'd nibble a little with the chicken and then raise it to my shoulder. They'd have a bit of chicken and then just pass it around. And it was just like a nice, warm, happy time that I really miss.
Yeah.
And this song does take me back to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
like a nostalgia to it. Especially those strings, you know what I mean?
Definitely. The strings are so nostalgic. Yeah. And so like lullaby, and it feels very Welsh. It feels very fitting in a lot of ways, I think.
I get that. Yeah. Which is crazy because he's got that sort of, I don't know where in America he's from, but I'm pretty sure he's American. But like, as I'm sure you know, I'm a big emo boy. And the thing about emo bands, very famously and much to my chagrin, is they all have really high vocal lines.
Yeah, they hit that like, they got that like kind of nasally voice that, like, there. Yeah.
Like, I'm no Gerard Way. I can't hit any of those notes. Whereas this guy, he's low down there. It is like a proper like gruff, manly voice with such like a delicate instrument. Oh, just beautiful. You know,
it's so good. Is there a favorite lyric in this that like, or like part of it that you go back to when you're singing it?
Yes, it's gosh, we have the lyrics here, so yeah, I can refer to it so I don't say a bad one, but it's this bit by here. Deep down inside of every part of me, my heart's been aching for the fear of the stretch of my wings. Like, that reads to me like me moving from the UK to Canada, right? Like, the fear of stretching out the wings and getting out there and seeing the world, which I think must be, I'd be guessing if I was to put it back to the original meaning of the song, but like, the, you get hit with something as big as a diagnosis and you're like, you gotta find the strength to face it down, you know? I imagine it pertains to that, but for me it's like, I wanted to go out and see the world, and that was terrifying. It was a 4-hour coach from Newport to Heathrow Airport. And like, I got on the coach and I cried for the next 4 hours all the way to the airport coming here. It's scary. It's scary stuff.
Yeah. was this, and like this song has carried with you through your journey and everything and grown with that. Yeah, I can only imagine like leaving and knowing that you're leaving.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because like the whole way I was like, I could just get off the coach. I could just come home. No one will blame me. No one will think less of me. But I will.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I need to get me on the plane, lock the air seal doors. And then it's like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I can't take over a plane. Look at me. New alarms. I've seen me hijack a plane. That's crazy.
Like, that's it. You're committed.
Exactly.
Did you know coming here that this was like a whole life move that you were going to be doing, or?
No. So my visa expires, as I say, in like 3 weeks. And the original plan was like, I'd come here, I'd do the 2 years, and then I'd pop home back to the motherland and call it a day. And it would have been somewhere around this time last year, I suppose, that I was like, oh, I really like it here. Like, mm-hmm. I want to stay here. I live right by a Taco Bell. That's crazy. You know, that's the second laugh from the crew. Let's go, baby. It was like the one day I woke up and I was like, wow, I can like really see myself staying here. Mm-hmm. Like, so I want to.
Yeah. Might as well try. Yeah, exactly. Right? I hope you're not leaving anytime soon, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. My fate is in the hands of the Canadian government at this point, but we'll see what mm-hmm. happens.
So. Exactly. If you're hearing this, Canadian government.
One of my housemate's girlfriend was saying like the other night, was like, no, actually it was Chris, was like, you should look into getting like a provincial nomination. I don't know what that means, but if that means I got to march down to City Hall and be like, hi, I'm like really cool and swagalicious. Let me stay in your country, please. I think if I said swagalicious, they'd say no out of hand, but yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll
yeah, see. It's worth a shot. Just it's see worth what happens. A shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't say swagalicious. Stop saying it.
Yeah. Cut it out of the vocabulary.
Can we cut that from the edit?
Yeah. Yeah. Walk out. Yeah. No swagalicious.
No, now you're saying it.
Yeah.
No.
It's infectious, actually. Yeah, I think this is a gorgeous choice for a song, and it really makes sense with like your story and everything. And yeah, and like I said, pets coming up, that's the first time, but they're so deeply important to us, and so like I think that there are songs that I've associated with like times, and then there's pets with those times, and then they come back. So yeah, one that's grown with you in that way. Do you have anything else you want to say about the song?
Well, I mean, I think to the first run of this episode, because like I don't recall most of what I said, but I definitely recall the big pit was like, I'm like deeply pessimistic about the whole concept of love, which is why I love this podcast. And I'm so excited to be here because it's like you got all these people lining up to be like, I love love and I love Valentine's Day and I love my partner. And I'm like, everything sucks and I want to be alone forever. You know, that's funny. But the three songs I picked last time were like objectively sad, I suppose, and emotionally destroying. But I was like, no, I'm going to come back this time and I'm going to do like at least one nice one. It's like, it still sounds sad and deep and emotive, but like it's quaint and it's nice. And I think it fits the theme nicer. So I'm grateful to be back here and grateful to have a second, like a do-over, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an expansion on the world of your brain and how you perceive love and what sort of love you value a lot, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think like I don't know, like the sad songs all made a lot of sense for you, so mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear
you saying something. I look depressed, that's crazy.
Not at all. I think it aligns with your music and where you're how you are as a person and creatively and everything. Not necessarily in a depressed sense, but in a deep feeling sense. Mm. Yeah.
So well, I vouch for deep capacity for love, but aggressively avoidant. It's yeah. Much to the chagrin of every woman I've ever dated ever.
Yeah. I understand the avoidance and trying to hide from it. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard out there.
It is.
Yeah. So. Mm.
Mm-hmm. But we're here now.
Exactly. Are we going to be listening to a sadder one next? Or
no, I think this one, it's kind of, it's, oh my God, it's so weird. Okay, so, do you want to hear it first and then I'll start like rambling about it? Or do you want me to like preamble this one?
Let's listen to it. Yeah, let's get into it. The second song we're listening to is Waves by The Deer Hunter. That bit at the end was really interesting, but you took off your headphones.
I know.
I think, yeah, it's like added to like the world building of the song. And this is a song that I could see like Karem like covering in a way. Like this is a very Merrick-esque song. Yeah.
It's funny you say the word world building. So the reason I chose that song was because when I first, give or take ish, arrived in Canada, I was like, how am I going to meet people? What's a great way to meet people?
Mm-hmm.
Dating apps.
Real.
Get the Tinder, get the Hinge, get the Bumble. Absolutely hate dating apps, I'll be honest with you. They're a little bit soulless, but mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here if we didn't match on Hinge.
It's true.
Big update apps, I suppose. But I matched with this one girl on Tinder, and we only shared like 4 messages the entire conversation before she unmatched me, probably because I'm like a deeply boring person. But like I always leave with the same thing. What's your favorite song right now? Because like if one more person asks me what my favorite color is, I'm gonna scream.
Hey, are you getting that a lot on dating apps?
Are you not?
No.
like that's just me. Do I look like a man who has a more interesting answer to that one?
Also never gotten
really.
I get what's your favorite flower a lot, stuff like
See,
that.
See, that's but... sweet, and I'd love to answer that one. My answer would be a bluebell, but but I have to keep being like, oh, you know, my favorite color's purple, but I wear a lot of black. It's like, if I say that one, I can just copy and paste the goddamn response. Anyway, so I hit this girl up, and I was like, what's your favorite like song right now? What are you vibing? Mm-hmm. And she sends me this band, The Deer Hunter. And she's like, I love them. They're my favorite band. Incredible, incredible, incredible. I'm like, okay, cool. I love how passionate you are. Can't wait to hear it. Add it to my library. And then she unmatched me. And I was like, oh, okay. But it was still in my library. And I was like, it was that's from that girl. I don't want to listen to it now. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, being like sad boy about it, as is my way. But I kept it there because I was like, maybe one day I'll circle back to it. And then it just came up in like the autoplay one day. And I was like, what is that melody? I love this. Oh my God. And just fell down a massive rabbit hole. I love this band now. They are, mm-hmm. and I'm glad you said it, they're like so my vibe. Like there's like, it's almost emo in the lyricism, but it's got like this poppy kind of pop rocky almost production on some of the songs. There's like one song that's like jazzy. Oh, it's everything I love about music. So very big fan of this band now. So thank you, random Tinder girl. I don't remember your name, but you're a real one.
Maybe she'll hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. She'll be like, oh. Maybe she's on the other side, like, telling the story. Like, yeah, I matched with this guy. I sent him that band and then I unmatched him.
Yeah.
And maybe she still thinks about me. I don't know.
Maybe that song has, like, a slight relation. She's like, oh, yeah, that random guy on Tinder. Like, that song makes me think about that instance. And she's like, that was weird. But
yeah. I hope to haunt the minds of everybody I ever meet.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say world building, because, and this is why I love this band, even though I haven't listened to all of their music, I do like leaving some surprises for myself. That album is like part 4, I think, or part 3 of like a 6 or something album run that tells a narrative over like a decade. Or like something.
A huge concept.
Huge, huge, huge concept.
Vision, yeah.
Phenomenal artistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. That's why I was so excited about that song. I was like, oh my God, like I love concept records. I love strings, as we know. That's 2 songs with strings in it now.
Yeah.
The lyrics are beautiful. Like the whole chorus that's like, I knew the way things were. I knew the way they would be. And I knew exactly how this would end. That is heart-wrenching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another sad love song disguised as a happy, upbeat one. But, like, what are you going to do about it?
I think just going back to your, like, story about it a little bit, it's, like, it comes up a lot because I get fixated on this idea of, like, why did people come into my life? Like, what is the purpose of it? Like, why, like, you know, what, like, they've got to be here for a reason, so why would I let them go? But, you know, like, sometimes people's purpose in your life is just to connect you with a song and then they leave. And, like, I think that that's such a clear example of that, of, like, accepting, like, your paths crossed for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You got the song.
I like that idea.
And now it's, and that was the purpose that this person was meant to serve in your life, and that's it.
But, like, it's nice to see that in like a hindsight, but and I'm not sure if you'd agree, but like in the moment it is so
hard
to acknowledge it, because yeah. It's like afterwards you can be like, oh yeah, that person popped in to give me this album that is now like my album of the year, And then they go again. It's fine. But at the time, mm-hmm. it's like, no, come back. Why, mm-hmm. where are you going? Yeah. You know, it's really hard to like let that go.
It's so hard to let it go. Yeah. There was someone I was seeing last year who introduced me to Jaguar Sun. They weren't even, I don't know if Chris is going to listen to this, but Jaguar Sun was like, and then that became like my anthem for the summer. Through this person who didn't actually even listen to Jaguar Sun. And they just mentioned that they like knew this guy. Okay. And now Jaguar Sun has been on the podcast and stuff.
Oh,
and
no
it's
way.
Like, yeah, it's like a lot of these people I feel like I've met through chance encounters, mm-hmm. just like pure luck. Like you mentioned how we matched on Hinge. And then we met at a friend hangout. I don't know.
There probably wasn't one. I swear to God, if you message me, what's your favorite color? I'm going to cry.
After this, yeah. You just get like a bunch of DMs. What's your favorite color?
No. It's purple. Leave me alone.
You should just put it in your profile.
I only currently have Tinder, but I specifically have in the bio, I am not a knight at medieval times. Stop asking me if I'm a knight at medieval times. Because that's the other one I get all the time.
Yeah.
Works out medieval times. Oh my God, are you a knight? No, look at me. I can't wield a sword. I can't go into battle.
Can you ride a horse?
I can't do that either.
For real. I could not ride a horse well. I can exactly. maybe get up there, but that's it.
See, I think if I like walked up to a horse and just started singing Midnight Dove, we'd be fine.
That's true.
We'd be fine. Mm-hmm. They just don't let me get close enough.
Yeah. You know? You have your secret way of tending to the horses.
America the horse whisperer. That's what they call me.
Exactly. I'm sure they do. I'm sure someone does. Yeah. Yeah. Back to the song a little bit.
Yeah. Just moonlighting as a musician. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the strings are very like I said, like, and you said world building. And it's really interesting that this recording, we keep on going back to this idea of like travel and like you coming over here and everything, which is like, I feel like a pretty romantic experience in itself. Do you feel like it has been?
Definitely. Yeah. It's funny. So one of the EPs I'm currently working on is like this acoustic EP, about like coming here, and it's like lovey dovey songs about like, I got a lot of, we talked about like recurring themes in a writer's music. I have a lot of themes about like being here when I'm from across the ocean and like that sort of the imagery of that, and the longing and the yearning and the new horizons versus the old horizons. Anyway, this EP that I'm working on is called Night Sailing because it's on a boat. What is more romantic than like travel, like mental imagery of like going on a boat to like far off shores, you know? Mm-hmm. Beautiful imagery.
A boat at night, under moonlight.
Incredible. I actually got the idea of, I don't think she'll ever hear this. I don't think she'll mind me talking about it, but I actually got the idea for Night Sailing. I was dating this one girl for a little bit, and I think it's just called The Beaches in the East End.
Yeah. Yeah. The Beaches.
There was a company. Oh, I've got a whole other story about that I can get into. That's kind of embarrassing. Anyway, so there's a company there, and they do like kayaking trips on the lake.
Cool.
At night. And your kayak like is clear and there's LEDs in it. So it like glows and it's really cute and romantic and nice.
That is cool.
And I was like, oh, I love night sailing. And then my brain was like, night sailing, that's a title. But I'm getting the cue to move to the next song. So I'll quickly tell you, they tried to hire me for a job last summer and I was super down. Like it would be running the kayak, sitting in the kayak, making sure no one's drowning. Sounds like fun. And then he sent me the pay wage. And at the time I was seeing this girl called Maddie, as we know, mm-hmm. Maddie had pneumonia and I didn't want to do the job. So I told him I had pneumonia. I was like, sorry, Maddie, I stole your pneumonia to get out of doing a job. Whoopsie.
That's so valid. Yeah. Who knows if you were going to get pneumonia? Like,
I was just being prepared.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it.
Expect the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of like boat themes when you specifically said that you didn't like boats.
Yeah,
so I've
got my sea legs now because I work on a boat. I had to like grow up here. Mm-hmm. But God, I don't like boats.
Yeah.
Like I can handle the boat I work on because it doesn't go out too far. But the idea of being on a boat in the middle of the ocean where like all the way around 360 degrees, you can't see land. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Mm.
What's underneath me? Who knows? Yeah. You know?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I think...
What's down there?
Yeah.
Drain it and let me see, and then put the water back in and I'll be fine.
Do you like... Have you been to the islands yet? Yes, we've met on the island.
Yeah,
never mind. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, because we met on the island and I was walking behind you and I turned to Maddie and I was like, I know her, but I don't know where I know her from. Why do I know her? Where have I seen her before? Who is this? We matched on Hinge. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Dating apps.
Exactly. It's always dating apps. But
God bless this city.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy for it, I feel. Mm. Okay. Let's go on to the last song.
The final
song. We'll keep chatting.
This song.
There we go.
Is by Scottish legends Biffy Clyro. This is Opposite from the album Opposites.
Nice. If you didn't tell me that was a Scottish artist, I would have been like, that song was so Midwest emo.
That's like, real.
Yeah.
But you can hear, like, what I love about Biffy Clyro is, like, so many artists will, when they record, and I do it all the time, slip into, like, an American-y accent. Mm-hmm. I love her, like, and I can't do accents, but, like, when he's, like, suture my wounds, you know, it's like, oh, he's so Scottish. I love it.
So Scottish. It's almost like, yeah, there's, like, it's like most of the song is almost hiding it, and then, like, a few words.
And, like, it shines every now and then. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I recorded a song years and years ago where the pre-chorus was plenty of hearts in here. That's all the line is. But we did a whole recording day. And at the end of it, we listened back and we're like, oh, we can't use this. It's like, oh, why? Hit play. And I'm like, plenty of arts in you. It's like, oh, you gotta put on the American accent, dude. That sounds awful. It's like, oh, God. I sound like a proper, like, Welsh chav when I speak sometimes. It's like, oh, God.
It's got to come out, right? It's who you are.
I try to limit it now. Soul. Like, instead of here, I would say, like, here. Like right now, this must be the place. I'm here.
Here.
Instead of saying here. So like, there's like some that I'm like, you know, if I put a here in the song, then if you hear it, you go, that's a Welshman right there. I'm okay with that. So.
Yeah. There's a few, it's like a little, just a little symbol. Just a little nod.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
To who knows. Yeah.
Because otherwise, if I went full Welshman, I'd be like, what the hell is this guy on about? Can't be having that.
So why the song?
Why the song? Great question. Because I'm a deeply pretentious, sad boy to my core that the chorus is like, you need to be with somebody else. Really good to listen to that and cry sing to when you're going through breakups. Like, this is like, if I'm going through a breakup, this is like a go-to regular in the playlist. It's like, you need to be with somebody else, not me, you know. I do think the story of this song was something to do with Simon from Anna Biffy Clyro was going through, I don't know whether it was just a rough patch with his wife or a divorce from his wife, I'm not sure, but like it is at its core a sort of breaky-uppy song.
Yeah.
That it fits my vibe correctly as well.
Yeah.
So
it's hard. As soon as you hit that moment in like a breakup or a relationship where you're like, you could do better, it's like, ooh, what territory are we getting into with this, you know? It's like, yeah, like, am I, is that like a valid thing to be feeling, like, should I do better? Like, I don't know, there's a lot of layers that come up with that, I feel, especially.
I've got such a complex that, like, and it's not healthy in any way, shape or form, that like I've got this core belief that like people date me and then we have a wonderful, wonderful time. And then they will go, and the next person they're with is the happy ever after. I'm just the stopgap to finding it.
I was literally talking to my roommate Nicole about how I'm that person.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not a healthy mindset to be in, but you get yourself there and you're like, look, people come to me. And it's the same as like with the last song where it's like, well, you come to me, we have these wonderful experiences. You learn what you like in a partner, you learn what you don't like about me. And then the next person you find, God is going to go, that's the fucking one. And it's like, yeah. So then you get yourself in this mental loop of being like, I'm fine, I'm fun, I'm good to be around. People like spending time with me, but they're going to find the better thing.
Yeah.
Just around the corner.
But I'm not.
But I'm not
I'm not it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the most emo you'll ever hear me be on this podcast. But yeah, like the idea of like, yeah, like everyone. Yeah. I just feel that where it's just like, yeah, like you're going to go on and the next person for whatever reason, whatever the universe decides, it's always the person after me.
Yeah. And I know that's like so depressing, and what a depressing end to the season of This Must Be the Place with this one. But yeah, that's why I'm such a pessimist when it comes to love, right? But then, and here's the other character flaw among my many others, is like, romanticizing my melancholic solitude. I saw that written on a meme once. Love doing that. Yeah. Oh, it's so bad for you, but it feels so good. It's like, God.
Knowing that you're a sad boy to your core, yeah, and embracing it and everything that that means.
And being insufferable to everyone around me as a result. It's like, oh, I love it. Makes for good songwriting. At least I hope so.
Mm-hmm. It makes for very good, like, the emo pop punk vibe of songwriting, yeah, for sure. And, like, I feel like these artists, like, the songs that you've chosen kind of draw inspiration from that vibe as well, mm-hmm, where it's, like, very much definitely not, like, the most, like, positive, happy-go-lucky outlook on love and relationships and everything that can come from the world. Yeah, and I think it would, like, the context of this being, like, a breakup song, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But, yeah, it's nice to have those songs that you can listen to and, like, you definitely feel, like, less alone and it allows you to, like, I don't know. I think a large part of getting through life, at least at this stage that I'm in right now, is, like, romanticizing the world around us. And so being able to romanticize a breakup, like, you need to be able to do it or else what's the point?
I'm not smart enough to discuss this in any fine details, but I do feel like there was a long period, I want to say the 2010s, of like pop music that was very like, you know, those jokes about like how songs all had the same kind of thing, like tonight is the night and we're gonna have the night of the night ever and it's tonight or now, and you know, that kind of like totally, this sort of like we're gonna focus on the short-term happiness, let's go, like, mm-hmm, just distract yourself from all the other
we're
stuff.
We're looking at Carly Rae Jepsen, we're looking at Owl City, looking at Mumford and Sons,
yeah,
we're looking at, like, American Authors, yeah.
I wish I could write songs like that that were so like, even if short-term, temporary, it's like we're going to focus on the good things in life. That's not me. I'm always looking too far down the road and depressing myself in the now. So I feel like a lot of the music I listen to is very sad and depressing. So when you're like, come on my podcast and talk about love, I'm like, I would love to, but
yeah, it's going to get a little bit sad in here then, and that's okay. That's good. Has the song come up with like any like really specific memories or...
I don't get into relationships often. I recently came out of one and it was my first official titled relationship in like 8 years. But I date a lot of people. I see a lot of people. As for a man who loves being alone, can't be alone. And every time that one of them ends, this song usually comes up in rotation along with a couple. I actually had to look at my list of those ones and be like, this is probably my favorite for the podcast. But this song makes me think of so many people in my life that I'm like, oh, that could have been nice if it worked out. And like just all those people and emotions and feelings, it all comes flooding back. And I quite like that, you know. I couldn't pinpoint one single memory or single person with it. But like, it's just like in my mind's eye, I see a room of faces that I'm like, yeah, those are some good times, eh?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I started making a playlist recently where, like, I've definitely mentioned on the podcast before, I have a playlist called, like, Crush, Crush, Crush. So it's just crush songs. And then I was like, I definitely need the other side of this and I want to ignore it. Mm-hmm. But we all need songs that are kind of like, you're not alone and also might make you cry, but for a good reason. It's probably a good thing to cry on those goodbye songs. Yeah.
I hope she won't mind me talking about this, but while I was like putting together the songs I wanted to bring to this episode, the way I tend to find new music is I go on my Spotify, see what my friends are listening to, look at some of their playlists in case there's anything that pops up that I'm like, ooh, that sounds fun. And I saw this one girl who we used to be a thing and she had a my top 10. It's like, perfect. Savaganda, let's find some new stuff. There were only 9 songs in the playlist. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, this is upsetting. By the way, I am stalking your playlist. Why is there only 9 in your top 10? This is insane. This is ludicrous. She told me she was saving that spot, you know. And then she was like, I can't believe you're only now stalking my playlist. I was like, why? She's like, because literally like 2 days ago, I deleted the one I made about you.
Wow.
I was like, well, now I have questions. Now I want to know. She made a playlist when I moved to Canada. Because, of course, by nature of my being on the other side of the world, we had to stop seeing each other. And the playlist was titled, There's more to life than holding you. And I was like, well, now I'm crying. Now I'm sad. You know, that's my story. love a good sad love playlist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A sad love playlist for sure. That's really That's really sweet. I don't know. It's sweet that she had just deleted it. It's kind of serendipitous that it came around in that way again.
And whilst I can't recall everything I said the first time we did this episode, I do know that that particular character in my life has now made an appearance in both episodes. I told a story about her last time. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how people come back, you know?
Those people really stick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Oh,
that,
please.
Merrick.
I love oversharing. Love it. And unless it's about like my favorite color, love it.
This is the podcast for oversharing, I think. Heck, I'm glad that people feel like they can, because.
Yeah, so my parents divorced when I was 14 years old. And, like, I blame myself. Do you think I'm the fault here? It's my fault.
Oh no. To everyone out there, you're not at fault for your parents divorcing, but Merrick is.
I'm the reason your parents aren't together anymore. Merrick's only. Every single one, yeah. Send me your dad's digits and your mom's Instagram. Let's go.
Get in there.
You can DM them to @karamcore on Instagram.
Yeah, this is a threat to anyone whose parents are
together. Not a threat. Oh my god, no, I'm not threatening anybody over the airwaves. No. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I got a gun. No.
Just low-key, by the way. Yeah. Thank you again for being on again.
Thank you again for having me again.
Of course. Happy to. It's been really fun, and it was like a very good roller coaster of conversation that I feel like we're going to keep talking about, because it was, yeah.
Don't worry, so much. I can't say I have two vapes. Yeah. One for me, one for you. We're so ready.
We're ready. We're locked in for the evening. Do you have any projects you want to promo that are coming up? Anything exciting in the world of Karam?
No. I'm looking to book a show in July, so I might have a new show coming soon. I'm currently awaiting the final masters of my next two records called Otherworld and Songs to Bleed Out To. So as you can imagine, they are both very fun. So there should be new music soon. And in like the next 21 working days, I will finally have some Karam t-shirts printed. So I'll also have some merch soon. So a lot going on. Oh my God. And we still have to sit down and talk about the zine idea we're sitting on. So
zines, music videos.
So much going
Hopefully
on.
Hopefully you'll see the Imogen Karam collab crossover world
again. Yes, it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be good.
But you can find out everything you want to know and more at Karamcore. That's KERAMCORE. Spelling is cool, kids. On Instagram. And also, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, yo, this guy sounds like swagalicious and I love that his favorite color is purple and that guy isn't traumatized at all, you can also shoot me a message and be added to the super secret Karam Club, where soon, when I have those t-shirts, there's gonna be like discounts and shit. It's gonna be fucking dope. I'm so excited.
I'm so hyped to be part of the Karam Club.
The super secret Karam
The
Club.
Super secret Karam
Nobody
Club.
Nobody knows
Sorry.
About it. No Mum is the word.
No one knows,
especially if it's your mom. Your parents are going through divorce. Hit me up.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's great time.
That's three loves on the can. Let's go, baby. I'm on a roll.
Hope he's having a great time today. Thank you again, Merrick. Thank you everyone for listening. Be sure to check out his project. You heard it. You heard the name. You heard the spelling. Karamcore on Instagram. And to subscribe to This Must Be the Place, wherever you find your podcasts. Give us a follow. Give us a comment. Leave a comment on who you think should be on the podcast. Who would you like to know what their favorite love songs are? Stay up to date with new episodes on our Instagram at This Must Be the Place Pod. And find the playlist for each episode and subscribe to our newsletter to get all these updates all in one place. Lots of love from me, Imogen, and we'll chat soon. Bye.
Tell your friends you love them. Bye.